Come on. Can you help me preach to your neighbor this morning? Become a preacher. Hallelujah. Tell them, no matter what you've done, God still loves you. Stop feeling bad about yourself. Tell them that will not change anything. Believing the love of God will change everything. How many of you believe that God loves you this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for loving us this much. Thank you, Lord, for surrounding us with your love. And this morning, I also want to thank you for your grace. Lord, if it wasn't for your grace, none of us would be here. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for the grace of God that lifts us up and causes us to be in a place we don't deserve to be at. Thank you for your grace, Father. And thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit that is doing a mighty work in our life this morning. We give you praise. We pray for the spirit of understanding. We pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to see wondrous things in your law. We ask, Father, that the entrance of your word will give light to every simple person here this morning. Father, we take authority over forces of darkness. We subdue every spirit of discouragement. We bind every spirit of distraction. We thank you, Father, that our minds are alert, our spirits are ready, our hearts are a good soil this morning to receive the word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Just before you take your seat, I want us to read together 1 John 5 verse 8 while you are standing. Amen. Can we read it together this morning? Amen. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, let's go. And there are three that bear witness. Yes? 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 And these three agree as one. Hallelujah. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. 3 months ago, I started a series that we entitled Dominion Trilogy. The Dominion Trilogy is series within a series, all based on this verse of scripture right here. 1 John 5, verse 8. There are three that bear witness on earth. I've never been in court, but I can tell you based on the movies I've watched, jailed. And a witness can get you freed. Because a witness has something powerful called a testimony. If you read your Bible, you keep hearing about witness, 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 witness. We can't be talking about witness if there's no court. There's a court in heaven. Jesus introduces himself to us in the book of 1 John as our advocate. You can't talk of such terms if there is no court. God himself is known to be a judge. I mean, why are you talking about legal terms in a religious setting? Because there are very, very few things that are religious about what we are doing. Very few. We are in legal stuff here. And we need witnesses from time to time to win cases. I don't know which cases you are faced with right now. These witnesses, prior to that, talks about three witnesses in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. These ones witness on earth regarding cases that are on earth. And these witnesses can be the reason why you will win a case. And their absence in court could be the reason why you can lose a case. You shall never lose a case in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in April, I introduce you to the first witness, the Spirit. Say with me, the Spirit. The Spirit. And that Jew, May, April, I was telling you about that first witness. The Spirit. Please listen attentively. Listen with an open heart. Listen to learn. Listen with the desire to apply what you are learning. And you will watch your life change before your own eyes. Oh, I remember the day I was watching one of my fathers in the ministry, Bishop David Oyedepo. I was so frustrated. Everything was wrong. Everything was going wrong. And he made a statement. He said, if any of you will dare to do the things I'm teaching today, you will watch and see your life rise before your own eyes. I said, what? You mean something can change about my life? I was so used to things remaining the same. He said, you will watch your life change before your eyes. I said, okay. After all, I've tried many things. Nothing has worked. What do I lose in trying what this man is talking about? That got me on a journey that has, I'm forever experiencing new things from that journey. I was in my bedroom watching Bishop David Oyedepo from the laptop. And I believe that statement. If you dare to do the things I'm teaching, watch and see your life rise before your eyes. Oh, I have watched this life change levels over and over and over and over again. Mr. Mungane, we honor you, sir. It's good to see you. Can we appreciate the man of God this morning? Our brother, Patrick Mungane. I'm sure you haven't seen him for a while. The Lord has promoted the man. He is now in another province. But we are so blessed today that in all the provinces of South Africa, he has chosen to visit us again. Hallelujah. Sir, we love you. It's so good to see you. And I see that Devin is taking good care of you, sir. I hope you didn't vote for MK. Just based on what is going on there, I think you have to vote for MK to solve. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit. What do we talk about? The anointing. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I've already taught you about that injunction of Nazareth. Is oh. Nathaniel asked Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth? When you are told that Jesus is of Nazareth, you have to understand, they are telling you the place where the guy came from, nothing good comes from there. Nothing good has ever come from Nazareth before. Now, what caused this guy to become a wonder? The anointing. How God anointed a man that came from where nothing good has ever come from. And the man started going about doing good, healing people. He became a necessity for his society. He became an important personality. Today, the whole world, in the 25th of December, honors Jesus Christ. No matter the religion, everybody on the 25th, we are all honoring Jesus Christ. There's no other religious leader I know that captures the attention of the whole world like Jesus Christ does. Because he is indeed God. But what made him to become the person he became? The anointing. How God anointed Jesus' Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Hallelujah. When you are not anointed, you want people to do good for you. When you become anointed, you start doing good to people.
you become empowered. Your life stop being a life where you are forever needing people. People start needing you. Hello! Are you going to be the one always in the receiving end? Hello? For how long must you be the one that people are always helping? I was so touched when my lovely wife shared her testimony here. You know, she said things I had never heard her say before. First of all, she said that when people wanted to do donations in Mabela Pudi, that when you come to the community and you want to help poor people, they will say, if you want to help a poor person, go up the hill. There's the last house you found up there, the cold last house. You can help them. You were not here when she was giving the testimony. My wife, her house was the house people go to for donations. When they want to help the poor, everybody directs them to that house. No, go to that house. If you go there, there are people that they need your help. Are you with me, church? Then she gave the second testimony that her physical appearance was not that good back in her school days. So much so that when a guy wanted to insult another guy, he will say to him, "You will marry Pumeza." It was an insult. That if you say to somebody, "You will marry," the way you are going, I think you're going to marry Pumeza. Like it was like you have insulted the person to the highest degree until people enter into fight. People are fighting because they were told that you will marry Pumeza. Those two testimonies touched me to the core. But to see what God has done from those two testimonies, look at what God has done with the same person. The same person. The same person. The same person. Some of those guys that fought because they were told to marry her, if they could see her today, they would fight to marry her. They would rather be fighting to marry her. What made the difference? Not the metric. No. The anointing. The anointing. I hope I'm talking to you this morning. The anointing. May you be anointed. I say, may you be anointed. One of the prayers you must pray for, Lord, anoint me. Oh, Lord, anoint my life. Let there be. Do you know why David became king? A shepherd boy. A shepherd boy that becomes the king. What happened? God anointed David. The anointing. Sister, it will change your life. These things I'm teaching you is like I'm joking, but if you could just believe the things I'm teaching you. It is the anointing that changes people. It is the anointing. Everything you see people do, there's a power you don't see that is doing those things. And that's what we call the anointing. Oh yeah. Anointing is not that you fall. This is how you guys know the anointing. Shepherd come. This is how most of you know the anointing. Power! Power! I say, More, that is power. That is power. I feel power. The power of God. I got power! That's what we like, isn't it? It is that there's power. Stand up, my son. But do you know the real power? Can I tell you the real power? I want to ask you, what is stand up again. What is the power to make this guy fall from here to here? I mean, to just fall in the same place. How do you compare that power to the power of changing him? What were you there are certain things you used to do before. What was the main thing that, I mean, this was the main one?
The main thing, there's two.
Yeah.
Drinking and fornicating.
Drinking and fornication. Continue doing like you are not understanding what I'm saying. But the guy is saying that one of the main things was drinking. If you've drank before, you will know it's not easy to stop it. You know why? Because even when you don't have money, people are buying for you. It's the only thing that I can understand. No matter how bad the economy is, people are generous. They will give you. You just go and sit there. You stick around. Somebody will buy it for you just now. Even when you are broke, you are drunk. Because people are buying for you. Satan is generous in things that are destroying your life. Now, do you know the type of power you need to turn a person like that? When was the last time you drank, sir? Last night?
No, sir. It's been years.
It's been years. It's been years. What power? Did you see him fall when he stopped drinking? Yeah, that was the greatest demonstration of power. Most of the time, power is working in you, but you're not aware of it. Because you haven't fallen down, so you think there's no power working. A lot of power is working in turning you around. God is working. Just you coming to sit here, power starts working. I said power starts working on the inside of you. It starts working. It starts working. It starts working. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So the anointing turns you into a valuable person. A valuable person. You stop being the one that always asks people, ke kupa, kupa 10 ranta, kupa 17 ranta, a 20 fela. You start becoming the person other people are coming to ask for money. I will never forget the day somebody came looking for me in my mother's house. In my mother's house, this guy was getting ready to get married. And he came. And I heard, Pascal, somebody is looking for you. And I came. This guy was training to become a pastor. And he's getting ready to get married. I said, hey, you're welcome, sir. I sat him down. He said, I came to see you. I came to see you because I believe you can help me. I said, yes, sir. How can I help you? He said, you know, I'm getting married. I don't know, but can you borrow me some money? Hey, my God. He was wearing suit. He came to borrow money from me. By the time he's going to borrow, I don't know when the last time I saw money myself. Like by the time this man is coming to borrow money from me, I don't know when was the last time I have seen money. But I felt so blessed. In fact, after he left, I was so hurt that I couldn't help him. And I told my mother, look at this. I couldn't help him. My mom said to me, rejoice, my son. Be happy. I said, why? She said, for somebody to have believed that you have money and they even wore suit to come and borrow money, it means there's money in you. You haven't just seen it yet. It is coming out. Hallelujah. He says to me, there's money inside of you. The money is, you are just be patient. That money is going to come out soon. He says, somebody, you know how many houses that man passed to come to me to ask for money? I said, hey. My mother said to me, no, my son, rejoice. Be very happy that a person has seen you as somebody that can give them money. Meanwhile, you don't have one chelete in your pocket. You know, you will be at that level. Your spirit will grow so much that all that is needed, all that is left is those small things called money, car. Like those are the small ones that are left. But your spirit has developed so much that when people look at you, they think you have everything. Do you know some of you, the reason why some guys are not dating you, they think you are married. Don't be angry. Rejoice. These days, nobody is even saying hello.
Say hello to yourself.
Pastor, you don't understand. It's not easy. I mean, it's been 3 months. Nobody has said hi. Why are you worried? God is preserving you for the right person. If God can allow this nun Titus, nun Titus with closed heavens to come and start talking too much to you, God knows that you yourself, you are not strong. You will fall for the nun Titus. He blocks them. He blocks them. So that he can push you to the right person. I said there's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. And God is protecting you and preserving you. Imagine a lion in a zoo. The lion wakes up and starts crying. The other guy says, what's the problem? I haven't seen another lion here. I don't know what's going on. I'm alone. I haven't seen another lion. I used to see a lot of lions. But they remove you from that place and they put you here where you are preserved. A lion in a zoo can live up to 20 years. A lion in the wild will live maximum 7 years. You die within 7 years. In the zoo, you can live up to 20 years. You don't look for food. The food comes to you every day. People come and take pictures next to you. Who will do that for you in the wild? From time to time, God places you in a small zoo where he is taking care of you. And that will cause you to not see a lot of things you used to see before. He cuts them out. Let the process go through. I said, let the process go through. Trust the process. Trust that God is cooking me. God is working on me. Yeah. You must understand something. The beauty you had before you came to church was not the beauty of God, actually. I mean, the beauty of God was there, but it was enhanced by the lust of sin. Yeah. Satan enhances you so that you are marketable and sellable, buyable. When you come to God, God will first wash these things. He removed the makeup. He removed the wig. I'm not saying you should remove your actual wig. I'm talking about, it's a spiritual, I'm using it to speak. Guys, you must understand, I'm using figure of speech. And there's nothing wrong with makeup and wig. Even though it is proven that people who wear too much makeup are not truthful people. The more the makeup, the more the lies. It is proven. I didn't say it. Praise the Lord. And I don't have a problem with makeup. Please, take your seat. You are being anointed in Jesus' name. Amen. Then we saw the water. The water is the word of God. Amen. I'm just doing you a quick recap before we can look at. It's raining. So even if I finish, will you go anywhere? So relax. Relax. It's raining. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Thank you, Jesus, for the rain. Matthew 5:5-6. Hallelujah. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught what? Nothing. Working is not synonymous to prosperity. You can work all your life and catch nothing. Work doesn't mean you have. I repeat, working doesn't mean you have. These people work. They had nothing. After working. It's a common story. He retired. Worked all his life. Has nothing. Now, God is going to get you out of that group. You see, most of the things that people see in the Bible, they think it's jokes. But people leave them. It's a reality. You can work less, and at the end of it, you have nothing. We've worked all night. We got what? That's why you need the blessing of the Lord in your work. Then you start having something. Otherwise, you'll just be working. I tell you, you work for 15 years, then you look at it, you don't even have a fridge. I'm not saying fridge, even the bed. I mean, the bed you are sleeping, the bed your mama gave you when you were going, she gave you that bed. A bed that your little children used to pee on, wee on it. Then they gave to you to start. You are still sleeping on it. After 15 years. God is helping us. Master, we have toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I was teaching us the power of the word of God. The power of the word of God. Like you see, they threw the net the whole night and they caught nothing. Now Jesus come and say, throw your net. Ah, I already did it. And it didn't produce. There's a difference. You did it all night by your own strength. Based on your own decisions. Now, he is saying, throw the net. As you are about to throw the net, it is not because of you deciding. It is God told me to do this. That's where the power is. At your word. Every time you do something, at his word. It will mean it will be so different as to if you had done it by your own word or by your own strength. They went all night at their own word, caught nothing. Now he said to them, do the same thing again at my word. And he changed everything. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. You see the difference? It's the word of God. The word of God. I just want to ask you a question. The things you are doing, who told you to do them? Who told you to do them? Because it is the word that guides us. Maybe you keep catching nothing because you are not doing it at his word. At your word. Increase my bit here. At your word. 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 I started this job at your word. I started this relationship at your word. I moved to this church at your word. I'm doing this at your word. Everything you do at his word will always return with an accomplishment. Because it says, so is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, Isaiah 55 verse 11, but it shall fulfill the purpose for which I sent it. At your word. That's the difference. Praise the Lord. So number one. It. Oh yes. So the three witnesses, the spirit, that was April. The water, that was May. This morning we are starting the blood. The blood. Say with me, the blood. What does the blood represent? If the spirit means I must be anointed, can't do much here without anointing. Not by man, not by power, but by my spirit. Says that. If the water, meaning the word, means I must hear from God. At your word. What does the blood represent? In those three witnesses. The blood represents sacrifice. sacrifice. Amen. Sacrifice. A lot of things will not happen until you sacrifice something. A lot of things depends on your sacrifices. What you are willing to let go of. What you are willing to sacrifice. Everybody you see lifting a cup to celebrate, behind that celebration, a lot of sacrifices. A lot of sacrifices. Before Floyd Mayweather can put the belt around his waist as the world champion, he alone can tell you how many sacrifices he's made to carry that belt. The blood of sacrifice. The blood of sacrifice. Blood always talks of pain. I mean, if you wake up in the morning and you walk out of your room and you find blood in your living room, do you just say, hey, just clean that thing there? Is that how you're going to talk? But if you walk out of room, you find dust, you would just say, hey, please don't forget to clean the house. But hey, immediately your antennas go up. Where is it from? What happened? Because you know what blood means. When you see blood, you know something happened. And that thing that happened is not a good thing. Oh, am I talking to myself here this morning? When you see the blood, you know something went wrong somewhere. Because blood is not supposed to be around. It's too precious. Once you see it around, something is wrong. You know, you can trip and fall. Then you dash yourself up and say, ah, no, he's fine. Until we see some drops starting. You say, hey, wait. We stop you immediately. We try to locate, where is this thing coming from? We are no more at ease. Once we see the blood. The blood of sacrifice. Are you with me? So number three, to dominate my world, number one, I must be anointed. Number two, I must hear from God. Number three, I must be ready to sacrifice. I must be ready to sacrifice. If I am not ready to sacrifice, I will not dominate. The blood will be needed. The blood will be needed. This morning, for the time I have, I want to talk about the master sacrifice from where we are all getting our inspiration from. The person that brought this thing, sacrificed through the blood. And what happens when the blood is released? Jesus Christ himself. Let's start with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The blood of his sacrifice. And what came from there. So that you will stop being blooded and buffeted by life. When he has made something available to you. But from next week, out with the blood of your sacrifice. Are you with me? Because Jesus said, take up your cross. I have carried my cross. I have sacrificed. Take up your cross and follow me into the journey of sacrifice. Next week, we will start tackling what sacrifices I must make for my life to change. What sacrifices I must make before something can turn around in my own world. What are the sacrifices that are needed for my side? But this morning, to encourage you, let's start with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because he is asking us to sacrifice. But let's see how he sacrificed. Are you with me? Yes. All right, let's quickly look at this and we'll go home. So I'm going to talk about 5 reasons why you must plead the blood continually in your life. John 19, verse 34, if you can turn there. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Hallelujah. Now, I won't be able to preach the whole message. I'm sure you realize that because of time. You have to really go online. I beg you, please go there. But hear this. Jesus could have died in many ways, because people die in many ways. But the reason why Jesus died on the cross was not just because these people were so cruel and they wanted to hurt him. No. There's a reason why Jesus went to that cross to die. Why he died on the cross, not anywhere else, but on the cross. And the main reason was his blood. The blood of Jesus needed to come out. I'm sure you know people that die every day with their blood inside. I mean, very few people die by car accident and you know, the blood spills. Most of people just die. All the blood is still inside. Not one drop has come out. Jesus could have died like that. But that could not have helped us. For us to be helped, the blood of Jesus needed to come out of his body. So God started a work to get the blood out. The work started with the beatings. The beatings were not just because they hated him. Yes, it's very much that. But over and above that, God needed the blood of Jesus to leave the body. So they will beat the legs. They will beat the back. They will be, if you watch the movie, The Passion of Christ, you will see that they beat him everywhere. And every time they beat, what came out? The blood. The blood kept coming out, coming out, coming out, coming out. Do you know why the blood of Jesus is so important? Eh? There are many reasons, but let me give you maybe just 2. Number 1, Jesus doesn't have an earthly father. So, his blood is not contaminated. He is born of a virgin, a woman that didn't sleep with a man. No, you heard my daughter here was saying that your gender comes from your father. Do you understand? A man has to give a seed, and out of that seed, you become either a woman or a man. Jesus doesn't have an earthly father, and the person that is called his mother is a virgin. How did he enter there? The Holy Ghost placed him inside there. So his blood is not contaminated. That is the first thing you have to understand. The second thing is, Jesus didn't commit one single sin. He lived on earth for 33 and a half years, not committing one single sin. So the blood is truly pure. That's the right blood. That can help us. But the problem is, that blood is inside the body. The blood is locked up inside. So now, God wants this blood out. As long as it is inside, it's working for Jesus, but it's not working for us. So the beating started. They beat our Savior. They beat him. Even when he's getting the cross, they are still beating him. They beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him until they reached Golgotha. When they reached Golgotha, there was still blood left inside. Now, they say, give this hand here. Then they say, give the other hand. He gave the other hand. They nailed it too. Do you know that just the beating alone was enough to kill Jesus? Like, even without any more thing, beating he went through could have killed him. It's enough. Many people get beaten and then they die. They just get beaten and then they die. The beating Jesus went through was enough to kill him. But God wanted the blood inside. So this hand, all the veins that are coming this side were pierced. So the blood started, more blood started coming out. Then this side, more blood started coming out. Then he said, no, give the legs too. They take the two legs, they pierce the two legs. Now more blood. That cross is drenched with blood. Now they lift him up. If they had let him on the floor, some of the blood could have remained inside of him. But you know, if you pierce a thing and you lift it, oh, all the blood is forced to go down. It starts pouring more. What is God doing? God is getting the blood out of Jesus so that the blood will reach you and me. The blood is coming out of Jesus. The blood is coming out of Jesus. After blood has come, now God now wants to that no blood is left in. Because he's been on that cross for a while and the blood has been drenched. Almost the blood is finished. But God decides to do one last thing. He inspires the soldier to come and pierce the side of Jesus. And when they pierce the side of Jesus, look at what comes out. More blood that was left inside. So I can tell you something. My Jesus died without blood. He left every drop. Every drop. The hands, the blood that was in the hands came out. The one that was in the back, the beatings in the face. The Bible said that they removed his beard. The blood came out. Now, when he was on the cross, the little blood that was still hiding inside, they pierced it. It also came out. Not one drop was left in. All of it came out. All of it. That's the sacrifice for your soul and my soul. He needed to sacrifice to the extreme. And the thing that was needed was his blood. Oh, they went for it. All of it. All of it. Now, this blood of Jesus that came out. Why? What does he do? Why is it necessary? Why was it necessary for the... You see, if you can listen to me today. Oh. Why was it necessary for this blood to come out? Why couldn't Jesus die with his blood? After all, he just needed to die. No. We needed the blood. Hebrews 12 verse 24. I'm just going to give you one key. My God. My God. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So, the first thing you are learning here is that blood speaks. blood, your blood has a mouth. When Cain killed Abel, God told Cain, the blood of your brother is crying to me. That's why murderers are really in trouble. Everybody you kill, the blood of the person starts crying to you. Witch and wizards, when you kill people, their blood starts crying. They are not talking about that right now. The blood of Jesus also speaks, but it speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. What are the things that the blood of Jesus talks about? I have spoken about 5 of them in this message, if you find it online. But for the sake of time, I can only give you 1 or 2. Number 1, the blood of Jesus speaks life. Hallelujah! The blood of Jesus speaks. And what does this speak about? The blood of Jesus speaks life. 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 Life, life, life. The book of Leviticus 17 verse 11, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, you need to become very familiar with this scripture. It's very important. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, we thought life is in the breath. No. Life is in the blood. Not in the breath, in the blood. The life that is keeping you, that the way you are sitting here now, alive, that life is not coming from your breath. It comes from your blood. And I'm going to prove it to you now scientifically. I mean, I'm not just going to talk religiously. I'm going to show you scientifically that you are alive because there's blood in you. The moment somebody gets involved in a car accident and they start losing blood. You see, we can't just say, no, he's just losing blood. It's not a big deal. Ah, it's a big deal. As the blood is coming out, what is coming out? Life is coming out. We cannot just say, no, it's just blood. I mean, it's not a big deal. I told you now that blood is emergency. As soon as you see blood, there's emergency. Because as soon as you see blood, it means a life is in danger. Blood is life. Life is blood. Now, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So why was Jesus interested in letting his blood out? Because his life was in that blood. And wherever that blood goes, the life of Jesus, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So wherever the blood goes, that life is going. That life is going. Are you with me? Now, let's talk about your own blood. Did you know that your blood carries, you see the oxygen you breathe? You see, you breathe here. How does the oxygen go in the body? Have you thought about that? All over your body. If you don't have oxygen in the body dies. The body remains alive because of oxygen. Maybe you didn't know. You see, when you breathe in, you are breathing in oxygen. But that oxygen goes where? In the body. How does the oxygen reach the fingers? It's through the blood. The blood carries the oxygen that you breathe and takes it everywhere in your body. And as the oxygen is taken to your body, that's how your fingers are working. That's how your eyes are working. Everything is working because it's got life through oxygen. It's the oxygen, that's life. Now that life is carried through the blood. The blood. Are you with me? That's why no more getting life. The blood is no more reaching the body. that to go there. And when the blood is no more able to go somewhere, life stop going there, and that part of the body start dying. And if you don't cut it, it's going to affect the rest of the body. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, you need to understand it this way. That's why Jesus left his blood for us. Because if we don't have the blood of Jesus, many things will remain dead. I mean, it is the blood of Jesus that will bring life to your marriage. It is the blood of Jesus that will bring life to your business. It is the blood of Jesus that will bring life to your family. As wherever the blood is not reaching, there's no life there. That's why things are dead. Also, believers are not pleading the blood. They have the blood, but they are not pleading the blood. So the blood is not working in those areas. Are you with me, people of God? The blood is not working in those areas. So I want to encourage you this morning. 5 reasons why you must plead the blood. Oh, you see, when you look at your child, you say, hey, it's like there's no more life here. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. You look at your finances. There's no more life in your finances. I plead the blood. If you do it with this understanding I'm giving you, watch and see. Watch and see. The blood carries life. The same way your body cannot live if the blood doesn't go there. That's also how, you see, why Jesus says we must go into the world. It's because, you see, every community where we haven't gone to, they are still dead. The blood of Jesus hasn't reached there. The blood of Jesus hasn't reached that area. The blood of Jesus hasn't reached that home. And wherever the blood of Jesus hasn't reached, there is death. There is death. That's why he says go. Because if we don't go, we will stay here with the blood. That leg will never have the blood. That eye will never have the blood. And things start dying. Crime start increasing. Then taverns start opening more. Then witchcraft starts expanding. Because the Christians are not going, then the areas are in death. There's a lot of death everywhere. There's a lot of death everywhere. When you are quiet about the gospel in your house, there is death in your house. Because the blood is not working there. Everything is dead. That's why we need to preach the gospel in our communities, in our families. We need to preach the gospel because that is where the life is. The life is in the blood. When we preach the gospel, we are telling about the blood of Jesus. We are telling people the spirit realm is changing because we have brought the gospel here. Now it is time to start taking it in the homes, in the homes, in the homes, in the houses, in your area. Wherever you go, you are coming with the blood. When you talk about Jesus, you are talking, well, Jesus is his blood. It is the blood. The life that Jesus wants to give to the people is in his blood. So wherever I take Jesus, I've basically taken the life of Jesus, which is his blood. And that's how things start changing. That's why the family of Pastor Pumi changed. Because until Jesus entered that family, his blood was not working there. So that area was dead. Until they were introduced to Jesus, they accepted Jesus, then the blood of Jesus started working in that community, in that house, and it started changing them. It started working on them. The blood is life. And where you don't have life, it means you don't have the blood. You don't have the blood. When God made me aware of this revelation, that's why I'm teaching this morning on why you must plead the blood continually. The emphasis is continually. Not just plead the blood. Some of you will plead the blood when you see a problem. The blood of Jesus. Then when the problem disappears, you are quiet. No. You need to plead the blood continually. Because you need, you see, the blood is circulating in your system continually. If it stops, you are dead. You are dead. So I plead it every day. In the morning, I have to plead it. During the day, I plead. I wish I had time to show you how to plead the blood over your mind. One area Satan attacks you a lot is your mind. And a lot of... Can I show you at least that scripture? Let me show at least even just that one scripture before we go home. Oh my God. Hebrews 9, verse 13 to 14. Let's just do this last verse. Thank you for your time and your patience. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the ephah sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, maybe before I do that, let me just one verse, please, because we will not understand this one without this one. Hebrews 10, verse 4. Let's start with this one quickly before I give you the last one. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because it is impossible. It is what? Impossible. Oh, talk to me. It is what?
Impossible.
For the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, we believe in blood. That's why we slaughter. Why do you think we slaughter? Because we know that there's power in blood. We know it. That's why we slaughter. That slaughtering didn't start. God is the one who started it. God, after we sin in the garden, he must have killed an animal to take the skin. An animal died. Then he took the skin to make clothes for Adam and Eve. So he slaughtered the first animal as a result of sin that day. Then later, he instituted slaughtering. If you steal, you bring a dove and this, you kill, you are covered. If you do this, why was he doing that? Because he knew he's going to bring something more powerful later, called the blood of his son. But he needed to prepare us to get used to knowing that there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. The blood has life. The blood has power. So he started training us through the goats, the bull, this and this. So he started building it up, building it up, building it up until Jesus is born, Jesus is grown. Then John the Baptist sees Jesus and says, "There is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." John didn't see man. John saw a lamb. He saw an animal. He looked at Jesus, but he saw a lamb. Because that's what Jesus was, a sacrifice waiting to happen. Are you with me? Now, we are told that the blood of animals does not take away sins. Why are we still slaughtering? Why? You need to understand something. The blood of a goat is of a lower rank than the blood of a man. Maybe you didn't know that. It's not the same blood. Animals are lower than humans. So you cannot use the blood of a lower rank to fix a higher rank person. Because the life is in the blood. When you take the blood of a goat, you place it on yourself. The life of a goat has just come. So you will now have a goat. You are now busy. The goat life is what? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Is in the blood. You have taken the chicken. Isn't it? You took the chicken. You sacrificed the chicken. And you bath yourself with the chicken. You start having a chicken life. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And you have taken a chicken to fix your problems. And a lower animal to fix a higher rank person. These animals are down there. So when you use their blood, you go where?
Down there.
You meet them down there. I'm not against anybody here. I'm just sharing the scriptures to us. That these things that we are doing, we don't know why the problems never stop. Because you see, that thing can never fix anything. The only thing that has the capacity to change your life is something higher than you. And the Bible says Jesus came from above. So Jesus is higher than humans. Jesus is of a higher rank than normal humans. So his blood can elevate our lives. His blood can take us higher, higher, higher. Because he is higher. His blood is higher. So when you use his blood, things start going higher because they have to go to the level of the person that releases the blood. People even use blood of rats. I mean, where are we going? You are using rat blood, pigeon, and you want to see. I thank God for Jesus. His precious blood was shed on the cross. And when you apply his blood, rather than the blood of goats or chicken, you have chosen something higher. Hallelujah. And wherever he is, wherever his life is, that is where you, wherever you have applied that blood, that thing starts rising to that level. That is what it is. So if I were you, I will plead the blood of Jesus left and right and center. You know, these days I plead the blood in everything. If I'm talking with you and I feel offense is about to enter my heart, with that speak, as I say, I plead the blood of Jesus in this conversation. I bring the blood now in this conversation. I don't wait. I start praying the blood of Jesus. You enter a taxi and it seems like, hey, something is wrong in the taxi. I'm bringing the life of Jesus here. Come and kill Jesus. Let's see. Now, I want to show you where Satan has been finishing us. The mind. Now, the blood of goat and chicken could clean the body before Jesus came. If you apply it, it will clean the body. But it will not affect the mind. This is what made people worse, because you will feel, you will still feel sinful, but somebody is saying you are fine. The priest is saying, no, you are okay. We made the sacrifice, you are fine. But you are feeling bad. You are feeling guilty. You are feeling something is wrong. But the priest said, no, don't feel bad. Everything is fine. Why? Because he did the sacrifice on your body. If you go to a witch doctor, they will wash the body. They always put blood in water. Isn't it?
Yes.
I say they even have enough sense. They know that there's power. If you mix water and blood, there's power. I just realized that. And there's these guys, they know things, you know. They actually know. They know that there's power in those two things. When you take the word, which is the water, and you mix it with the blood, which is the sacrifice, a believer that knows how to use the word and the blood will destroy any adversity. So you are not doing yourself a favor when you are not reading the Bible. You are not helping yourself at all, because you need the water. Even the Sangomas use it. They understand there's power in it. They know. Oh, there's a scripture I want to share with you. Oh, Jesus. Because I'm on that, let me share it with you. Then I hit this one. The water and the blood. 1 John 5, 5 to 6. Let me show you what I'm talking about.
1 John 5, 5 to 6. Ah. Who is he that overcomes the world? Who is he that dominates? Who is he that comes out victorious? Only he who believes Jesus is the Son of God. This is the person that will dominate. Are you with me, church? Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 is where the key is. Verse 6 is where the key is. This is he who came by water and blood. Why is it that when you believe in Jesus, you dominate the world? You dominate because Jesus came with water and blood. That same thing you see these guys using. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ, not only by water. Look at it. But by water and blood. What is water? The word of God. God is saying to you, to dominate your world, you need more than the word. You need the word and the blood. It is when you put the two together that you stood together. Water and blood. Let me give you an example. Solomon, a man of waters. Who could tell us about avoiding prostitute better than Solomon? Do you know of anybody that wrote better than Solomon about why you shouldn't commit fornication, why you shouldn't commit adultery? Solomon has all the revelations why you shouldn't go to a strange woman. He writes to you, he says to you, my son, avoid a strange woman. Don't do this, don't do that. He's the one writing to us. He has the water. When it is his time, 700 wives, 300 concubines. Because you can have the water and still fall. He had the water, but he didn't have the blood. And a lot of us are here. You have water, but you are still not making it. From today, learn to add blood to the water. Not by water only, but water and the blood. Some of you will catch this maybe in a few years' time because it's, I understand it might be deeper. Water and blood. Practically speaking, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. It's a scripture. I know the scripture. No weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. I can even quote it. No weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. You'll be surprised how the things will be prospering around you. So once I have that water, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. That's the water. After I quote the water, I plead the blood. Do you understand where the key is now? So after you hit the water, you also bring the blood. So you don't just say, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. This trip is covered. You say, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. And I plead the blood of Jesus in this trip from beginning to end. I have now mixed the water and the blood together. And the Bible says, I will win any case. Do you see now why you haven't been doing well? Because you have a lot of water, but you are not using the word. You're not mixing the two. And even the smallest sangoma in your community knows that water is not enough. After you have water, you need some blood inside. Who taught them these things? Let's now end with the conscience. Hebrews 9, 13. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death,
so that we may serve the living God. Hallelujah! The blood of Jesus doesn't remain in the body. Conscience is not clean. You can't serve God freely. Small hand you are trying to lift, say, hey, you're also lifting your hand. You remember the hand? You see that hand you are lifting? You know what? Do you remember what that hand was doing last night? You are not lifting the hand, eh? You are lifting the hand. People are lifting, you're also lifting your hand. Take that hand down. Say, before you know it, say, hey. You started, because Satan is attacking your conscience. And why is Satan attacking your conscience? You haven't pleaded the blood on your conscience. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. Conscience. Blood of Jesus. Clean my conscience. Now, in Jesus' name. Now, do this often. Every time Satan bombards a bad thought, blood of Jesus, clean my conscience. I claim the blood of Jesus over my conscience right now. I plead the blood over my conscience. You will see how that arrow will wax. Conscience. And you just. Doing like this will not change anything. It will not change anything. Plead the blood over your conscience. Oh, Pastor, you have given me a key. So now I can go and masturbate. Then I just plead the blood of Jesus over my conscience. Then I go again and I masturbate and I plead more. That is not, you are not understanding the preaching. I'm not saying that now take the blood of Jesus, start using it. That is not how it works. You see, we clean the conscience so that we may serve the living God. Not so that we can go and do the same thing again. So that we may go and serve the living God. Your conscience is cleansed so that you can go and serve God. Not so that you can go and do the sin again. There's a difference. The purpose is service to God. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet, please. Put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you.
Come on, somebody celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to lift up your hands and begin to thank God. And I want you to begin to plead the blood practically in every area of your life. Lift up your hands and begin to pray right now. Lift up your hands. Begin to pray. Begin to sprinkle the blood of Jesus in every area of your life. Begin to sprinkle the blood of Jesus over your mind. Begin to sprinkle the blood of Jesus. Begin to plead the blood of Jesus on your conscience. Begin to plead the blood. Come on, somebody. Begin to plead the blood right now. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over my life. I plead the blood over my life. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice right now and begin to plead the blood. Begin to plead the blood. Begin to plead the blood over every area of your life. Begin to plead the blood over every area of your life. Some of our lives are in stagnation. Wherever there's stagnation in my life, oh God, I'm beginning to plead the blood. I'm beginning to plead the blood right now. I'm pleading the blood, oh God, over every limitation in my life. I don't know what is the limitation in your life this afternoon, but I want you to begin to plead the blood in that area. I want you to begin to plead the blood in that area and say, Lord, I plead the blood over this limitation. I plead the blood over this obstacle. I plead the blood over this area of my life. It might be in the area of finances. Begin to say, Lord, I plead the blood in my finances. Lord, I plead the blood in my finances. We learn today that don't wait for a problem to be there. Even in the places where there is no problems, don't wait for a problem to come for you to plead the blood. Begin to send the blood in all those areas. Begin to send the blood in all those areas. Begin to send the blood in all those areas. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we plead the blood. Father, we plead the blood.
over our minds. Father, we plead the blood over our hearts. Father, we plead the blood, oh God, wherever the enemy has sent, conceding the blood this afternoon, in the mighty name of Jesus, 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 over every sin that easily besets us. Father, we plead the blood. Father, we plead the blood. We are gaining victory because of your blood. We are gaining victory because of your blood. In the name of Jesus, we lean not only on the water, but we also apply the blood, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let your blood come into play. Let your blood come into play. Let your blood come into play. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we plead the blood over our ministries. We plead the blood over every member. We plead the blood over every family. We plead the blood over our workplaces. We plead the blood over academics. We plead the blood. We pray, oh God, in every area where we have sinned against you, Father, we are pleading the blood. Begin to pray that prayer right now. Begin to pray that prayer right now and say, Lord, I send your blood. The Bible says, without the remission of sins, there cannot be forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there cannot be remission of sins. Somebody begin to plead the blood of Jesus right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, though our sins were red as scarlet, your blood washes us to be as white as snow. Thank you, Father, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, wherever you are, this is a moment between you and God. This is a moment between you and Jesus. This is the reason why Jesus died on the cross, for you to make this decision. For you to make the decision to receive him in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You are here this afternoon, you are saying, I want to receive him in my heart. I want to receive Jesus in my heart. I want to receive him as my Lord and personal Savior. I want to give you an opportunity this afternoon. As I count up to three, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you wherever you are. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. You can drop your hands. If you are also here this afternoon, and maybe you've already given your life to Jesus, but maybe you fell along the way, and you are saying, Lord, I need the power of your blood again. I need to recommit my life to you again. I also want to give you an opportunity this afternoon. As I count up to three, also lift up your right hand, and I'm also going to pray with you. One, two, three, lift up your right hand. I see your hand, God bless you. I see your hand, God bless you. I see your hand, God bless you. I see all your hands, God bless you. You can drop them. Now, if you lifted up your hand for the first or second altar call, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to come to the front and we are going to pray together. Just take your belongings wherever you are and come and join me in front and we are going to pray together. Church, let's encourage them as they come. Let's clap our hands and celebrate them. If you lifted up your hand, just come with your belongings and come and join me in front and we are going to pray together. Church, let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate them. Hallelujah. I want us to lift up both our hands, those in front and those in the congregation. Lift up both your hands. And I want you to pray this prayer deep from within your heart. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe that you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven. I am justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I am born again. I am free from the power of sin. to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for my sisters that are here, oh God. I want to plead the blood over their lives. I want to plead the blood over their families. I want to plead the blood over every area of their lives, oh God. I pray, oh God, that may you establish them. May you plant them, oh God. Father, I pray that let their names be written permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed.